Sure, good to be with you again. We're looking at last Sunday the subject of the Good Shepherd, the one who gives and gave his life for the sheep. We're going to continue that this morning. So turn with me in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. We read the first 11 verses last week, so we're going to break in at verse 11 today. The Lord Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to every heart here today. I said last Sunday that you can hardly read John 10 without thinking of Psalm 23. And there the psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall love him. And I said last week, if anyone else was our shepherd, they could fail to meet our need. We could come in want. If anyone else was our shepherd, they could make an error. They could forget and not meet our need. They could even change their mind, I said. Or they could die and not be able to meet that. But not the good shepherd that we're talking about. He could never, ever fail. Nor could he forget. Nor will he ever change his mind. We reminded ourselves that he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And nor could he die. For he ever lived in the power of an endless life. Why not this morning? Again, I wanted to remind us to leave our worries and wants behind and leave it to the good shepherd. I said that a good shepherd carries the meaning of to watch, to tend to guard, to protect. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. When we broke up the message, we said we're going to use 7 different outlines or points in the message. And we said we're going to look at the good shepherd who seeks his sheep. And we did that last Sunday. And the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And as far as we got last week, this morning we're going to pick up and remind ourselves of the good shepherd who gives life to the sheep. And the good shepherd who keeps his sheep. The good shepherd who knows his sheep. The good shepherd who provides for his sheep. And one day the good shepherd who one day will enfold the sheep, will take them home to be with him forever. First, we looked at the good shepherd who seeks his sheep. And we turned to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And I'm just going to refer you back there for a moment, but because it's something I might not have made clear, and I haven't got it out of my thought since, and I don't want to leave any doubt in your mind. We were looking at Luke 15 and 4, where the Lord said, what man of you having 100 sheep, And if he loses one, doesn't he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost till he find it? There we notice there were three things lost in that parable. It was a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And I said each one was found, and it was rejoicing after each one was found. But then I said, and this is what I want to clarify, the sheep was innocently lost. The coin was carelessly lost, and the son was willfully lost. And this is what I said there next, that in each case, we see the percentage grows. I said the sheep, it was 1 out of 100. And that's what I want to clear. I didn't want you to get the idea that I was thinking that the 99 was sheep. The scripture says he left the 99 in the wilderness. But it was one out of that who was innocently lost, who wandered away innocently. And I said, it's the same way today. It's just a few that are innocently lost today. And the coin, I said, was carelessly lost, 1 out of 10. And you see, as the percentage grows, there's so many more carelessly lost today. Then I said, again, I want to clarify here in this. I said, the son, it's 1 out of 2. He was willfully lost, not indicating at all that the elder son was saved. I wanted to clarify that, because I don't think he was. The Lord is talking to the Pharisees. He seeks his sheep until he finds. And we notice that the sheep, he found them astray. All we like sheep are gone astray. We noted that the sheep was lost. So were we. We noticed that the sheep was in danger. They were in danger of a storm. So is men and women. They were in danger of the lion. The devil goes about as a roaring lion. They noticed that they were in danger of the wolf, the false teacher. And we looked at the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And then we noted that it's luck for the sheep. He laid down his life to solicit. We noted the sacrifice he gave himself. And then we ended up by noticing that it's salvation through what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. And we close with this verse about the Lord Jesus laying down his life in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor." And understand that word grace carries the meaning of generosity. The most generous person that ever lived is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the grace. And he became so poor. How poor did he come? He was poor in Bethlehem. Born in a borrowed home, and that was a stable. A borrowed crib, and that was the feeding trough. He was poor in Gethsemane. Where he asked the disciples even to pray and watch for him, and no one did, and alone, with a cross before him, he's alone and he prays with such agony. He was poor there, and he was poor at Calvary, where he took my sin, and your sin, and the sin of the world, yet for our sakes, that we might be made rich, eternally rich, through what he has done on the cross. This morning we're going to pick up, he gives his life to the sheep. And in verse 28 we have that, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Note the words that describe Christ's sheep. They hear, and they follow. Might be some here today who's a Christian. And you've heard, and you listened, and you obeyed, and you trusted him as Savior. But you're not following him today. You know the condition you're in. You and the Lord know that. We're going to say more about that in the next one. It might be someone today who's heard the Spirit of God speaking time and time again, and yet you haven't heeded it. You have never trusted him as your Savior. Oh, I pray you won't even leave the building today until you know. You see, the sheep here, and they follow. And then it describes, then it says, Christ knows his sheep, and he gives eternal life. Describes the sheep. He knows him, and he gives it eternal life. You know, You might fool yourself. You might fool your parents. You might fool your husband, your wife. You can't fool God. He knows. Everyone. And everyone he gives eternal life. John, writing in his epistle, chapter 5 and verse 11, says, "And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." What a hope. What a wondrous truth this morning, that God has given us eternal life, and that is in his Son. Let me say this morning, friends, that if you live without Christ, to have life, you must have Son. If you don't have him, you don't have life. And sad to say, many don't have it today. And the Lord Jesus said back then, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." I trust you're not like that today. You know, it's nothing about the Lord Jesus that makes it impossible for a man to trust him. There's nothing about him. But you know, it's all about the will of man. The fault lies in you today if you never trusted Christ as Savior. You know what? If you haven't, you love your sin more than sin. That's the bottom line. Apostle writing to the Colossians says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory." Everyone who's trusted him. What a hope we have. Will appear with him. One day. In glory. As the good shepherd, he gives life to the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. As the great shepherd, he gives life to the sheep. And as the chief shepherd, he will glorify his sheep. And one day, as I said, he's coming back and he's going to give that unfading crown that'll never fade away. You know, we could get trophies from men here in this life and they fade away. Well, they lose their value. But that crown, saints, that we will receive that day, for all those who has given life, will go on and maintain its beauty throughout eternity. He gives life to the sheep. But he knows the sheep, he says, verse 4, verse 14, verse 27. He gives life. He knows the sheep. And two things we have to note is the ear and the foot. It says they hear. And they follow. They hear by believing, as I just said a while ago. They hear the word and they believe and they receive it. He that heareth my word says, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Those sheep, he knows everyone. He knows everyone who has heard and listened and believed and have trusted it. Prophet in Isaiah 55:3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me." Listen is what he's saying. If you've never received him, hear and your soul shall live. If you're here today and you never received Christ, he says, listen. Listen at my pleas. I'm calling you to come. Why not obey? Why not trust me? You know, if two words that stand out in scripture to me is listen and obey. If Eve would have done that back in the Garden of Eden, the world would have been plunged into sin. But she didn't listen. And she didn't obey. And we see it going on all through this, down the ages. And even today, men and women, boys and girls, don't listen. They turn it for a deaf ear. And they don't obey. But they follow the sheep. He knows the sheep because this sheep, he says, will follow. They'll follow in obedience. First, they'll follow in obedience. The Baptist. He says, this sheep will obey him. And Mark 16:16 says this, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You said, "Well, that sounds like you're going to be baptized and be saved." You know, we were in Maniwaukee, I guess, just over a year ago, and the dear sister's home, and she's home to be with the Lord. Now, Brother Roddy knows it well. And she said, her son-in-law quoted that scripture to her, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Sister, I said. And, she said, "What do you do about that?" I had a lovely talk with her. You see, they don't read the last part of that verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's not to do with baptism. The last part of the verse says, he that believeth not is damned. Not he that doesn't mention baptism, you'll be damned because you haven't been baptized. He says, he that believeth not will be damned. It's not the matter of baptism. And we have many things to prove that, don't we, in Scripture. The thief on the cross was not baptized, but yet the Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The Gentiles in Caesarea were baptized as after they were saved. The Philippian jailer, you know the story. For after he was saved, he was baptized and apostle. And it's at least 150 scriptures in the New Testament alone that teach that salvation is by faith and faith alone. So it's not by baptism. But baptism is a thing that we should do. See, it's not a condition of salvation, but an outward proclamation that a person has been saved. And you know, all through the New Testament, it teaches that death and burial is baptism, and it's not the condition for salvation. It's baptism. The condition for salvation is in through none other than Jesus Christ. And as the person goes down into the waters of baptism, they acknowledge the triune God. They acknowledge that God is their Father. They acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And they acknowledge that the Holy Spirit indwells, empowers, and teaches. That's what baptism is. It says that they that gladly received the word were baptized. Those sheep also follow and remembering the Lord, the breaking of the bread. And I don't know if anyone here today doesn't do that. But if you don't, the Lord Jesus, the night before he went to the cross, he took the bread and he broke it. He says, this is my body that's going to be given for you. This do in remembrance of me. This last request. And he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood which is to be given for you, for your remission of sins. This do. You know, I wasted so much of my early Christian life. And I didn't do that. I can't recall that. And it's the most precious time of my life every week when I come to remember. I tell you, if you hear you're young today and you haven't remembered, don't waste the years like I did. It's a time when we come, you say, well, Freddie, I don't get anything out of it. I've been there. You don't come to get. And you've heard me say it over and over. You come to give. We don't come with a petition on our lips. We come with a present in our hands. We come to give him. But I'll tell you, God's no man's debtor. And if you come and you give, you will receive your no way blessed. Every time. You obey him by coming to remember him. And then, the sheep followed by witnessing him. Witnessing for him. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission in 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There we see three commands. Go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There's four alls in that chapter and that Great Commission. All authority, says, is given unto me. And there, as we go to witness, Christian, we have all of his power. That should be a comfort to us as we go to witness. All of his power. Then we have another all. Go to all nations, all of his people. Go tell everyone. And then he says, teach them all things. Don't leave out anything. We have all of his program. Don't leave anything out. Make sure you teach everything. Just don't tickle their ears. All of his program. And he says, I am with you always. We have all of his presence. What a comfort to know as we witness him. We have him with us all the way. But 20 centuries have gone. The task still is uncompleted today. I had to ask myself before I came. What am I doing to carry out his last words? What are you and you and you doing to carry out his last words? I trust today that we'll be willing to give him our all of our time, all of our effort. We'll put him first in every area of our life. Hosea 6:3 says this as we leave that point. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. If we're really going to know Him today, we're going to have to follow. I trust it will be our desire to follow. That song came to my mind and I copied down the first verse. We love to sing, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How He has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross He suffered, shed His blood and died, that I might ever in His love confide. And as the chorus, following Jesus, that's what we live on, ever, day by day. Nothing can harm us when He leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, what is before? Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. I trust He is today with everyone here today. He keeps His sheep. He keeps His sheep in verse 28 and verse 30. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, ever perish. Through all eternity, they shall never perish. Our eternal security this morning is due to our acceptance of Him. If you never accepted Him, then He doesn't guarantee you this eternal life. But Christian, today, everyone who has placed their faith and trust in Him, He guarantees that as many as receive Him, to them He give the right to become the sons of God. And Paul knew for sure that he was saved. Paul says, I know, in 2 Timothy 1:12, in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul says, I know. Paul says, I got a knowledge of Him. Paul says, I know the One because I met Him on Damascus Road. And there I give my heart and life to Him. Could you say like Paul today? I know in whom I have believed. Paul says, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep. That's what we're talking about this morning. He's able, this good shepherd is able to keep me, whatever. He had assurance of his salvation. I'm reminded of that story is told about old Pete. Old Pete didn't know too much about education. He didn't have much education, but oh, did he have an assurance of his salvation. One day he told the pastor, he says, Pastor, if God was to take me right over the pit of hell and say, in you go, Pete, you deserve to be there. He said, you're right, Lord. You're right, God. That's where I deserve to be. But if you cast me there, you'll have to take this son with me. For he and I are now one. He keeps His sheep. He keeps His sheep. We looked at our acceptance of Him, but our position in Him. Paul writing to the Ephesians says, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Our position this morning, accepted in Christ. And notice the terms of His grace. He freely has made us accepted. But all the cost that it cost Him, all the price that He had to pay, that we could be accepted this morning in the beloved. Recipients of grace is us. The channel by which God does it is through His Son, Jesus Christ. We should praise Him, and we will praise Him throughout the countless ages of eternity. For His marvelous grace, Samuel Bliss said, great God of wonders, all thy ways display thine attributes, O Lord. But the bright glories of thy grace above thine own wonders shine. For who is a pardoning God like thee? And who has grace so rich and free? I'll tell you, look. He's a pardoning God. And if you don't know Him today, He will pardon you of every sin today. Our position in Him, we are complete in Him. Colossians 2:10 says, and you are complete in Him. And I understand the word complete means we're permanent in Him. Nothing can move us. Nothing can ever sever us. Not complete, for any Jewish ceremony, or the rituals, or the law, but complete in Christ. Not complete by philosophy, not complete by any merit that the followers that we could have done, but complete this morning in Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says, wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost, all that will come unto God by him. And one final verse of scripture that proves that he keeps his sheep, and you know it well, and we often refer to this, and it's in Romans 8 and 33 to the end of the book. And it says, and Paul's writing, he asked several questions. Could God be for us? Who can be against us? I'll tell you this morning, they might try, but no one could help us. Then Paul says, who can condemn us? No one. Why, Paul, can anyone condemn us this morning? Paul said, because God has justified you. Who can separate us? No one. Why? Because Jesus Christ has died for us. Then Paul goes on to prove that no one can separate us. And let me read those verses to you this morning. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says it's nothing can ever separate us from Christ this morning. And then he goes on, he says, the realm of death can't. That will only put us in his presence. Death, life cannot. Like nothing here could separate us. No angel, he says, could separate us. No principality, none of Satan's demons could separate us this morning. And to be sure, Paul says, nor any other living creature can ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, this morning, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Saints, we could sing with the hymn writer this morning, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation this morning, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Sixthly, we're going to look at the good shepherd who provides for his sheep. We can go to Psalm 23. We won't do that this morning. But the verse that comes to mind that we want to look at for a moment is Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. First, we have in that verse a great need this morning. All our needs. God says, I'll meet them today. I'll meet everyone. Might not be the way we want them, not might be as our wants or whims or whatever. But God says, I'll meet the need that you need to have met today. If you will come, and you will have. And we see not only a great need in that verse, we see a great help. And it's God, the one who has everything and owns everything. He's the one who's guaranteed to supply our need. A great need, a great alpha, a great supplier. I'll tell you, there's total supply with God. It's nothing lacking because he's infinite. He's abundant. He's inexhaustible. And I mentioned that last Sunday morning at the Lord's Supper. He says, I'm like the alphabet. Millions and tons of books have been written from those 26 letters. And yet today, the alphabet is not being exhausted one bit. He says, I'm just like it. I'm alpha and omega. Beginning and the end. I'm like that alphabet. Though millions have come and drawn from that fountain of water, I'm still the same today. A great supplier. He's inexhaustible. He's limitless. He's boundless in his supply. But then we see his great resources in that verse, don't we? God's riches. God's riches in glory. According to his riches, not out of his riches. You'll say, Freddie, what's the difference? I often use that little illustration. I believe Brother McDonald uses it. If a millionaire was to give a child a quarter, it would be out of his riches, wouldn't it? But if a millionaire was to give $100,000 to a worthy cause, it would be a thought of vision. That's how God gives his children today. According to his riches. And next we see the great resources. God's riches and glory. He doesn't give according to our deserts, but according to his mercy. Thank God for that today. If he gave according to our deserts, we would have been in hell. Or doomed for an eternal hell. But he doesn't give according to our deserts. Nor does he give out of debt. Because he didn't owe us anything. We owe him everything. He gives out of grace this morning. That's how God is. Not according to our emptiness. No, but according to his holiness. Not according to our poverty. But according to Israel. My God shall supply all you need. He has great riches. Lastly, the great and glorious channel by Christ Jesus. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. There's no other channel. This should bring contentment this morning, now in the present, and comfort for the future. You know, he meets all our spiritual needs. He meets our needs this morning for forgiveness. As children of his, says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sin, he's faithful. I like that word. He's faithful. And he can do it justly because of what he has done to forgive our sins. If we acknowledge our sins, as he will forgive us. Sins of commission. Sins that we committed, sins of omission, the things that we failed to do. Sins of thought. You say, I didn't know I could sin by thoughts, as the thought of foolishness is sin. Sins of act, secret sins, public sins. He'll forgive them all, but we must bring them to him and call them by name openly before God. And he says he's faithful and just to forgive those sins. Proverbs 28:3 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsakes will find mercy. That's it this morning. You know, if we cover them, we'll never find forgiveness. But if we're willing to confess and forsake them, we can find mercy today. We can find forgiveness today. He provides grace too, doesn't he? He told Paul, my grace is sufficient. I don't have time to go any further into this. We're going to look at the last point. He will one day enfold his sheep. Or one day he's going to take us into his fold, right into heaven itself. John 10:16, we read that, them also I must bring. He's going to bring us home one day. He's going to bring us into the fold one day, Christian. He says, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. He says, as many mentions thee. I go to prepare a place for you, and I think the Lord is talking about there, I'm going to Calvary. And there I'm going to prepare a place. There I'm going to make it possible for you to spend eternity with me. I would argue with anyone that is asking that two meanings, that it doesn't mean that he actually is wanting you to take to prepare a place. But I know one thing, the place is prepared for us. And we're going home one day. Right into his presence, into the fold of the sheep. Could be today. Paul writing to the Thessalonian believers in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming, and the dead in Christ will arise first, and we which remain alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these. It should thrill our hearts, and that this word should comfort our hearts today. What a sound to hear, saints, when we hear his voice for the first time. He says, come home, my child. What a sight to see when the first time our faith's going to give way to sight, and we're going to see him. It won't be a bleeding face. A glorious face, shining brighter than the sun. It could take us home to be with. What a song to hear, what a sight to see, what a song to sing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. to going home. What an experience of joy. Going to be in His presence with fullness of joy. And His right hand blesses forevermore. What a comfort to experience. Forever with the Lord, never ever to be separated again. You're going home. You're going to be brought into the fold one day. But you know, if you're not His, you won't be there. You won't be there that day. I have a lot to say about this home from Revelation chapter 22. He says there's no curse there. The throne of God is there. Servant shall serve Him there. Tree of life is there. Water flowing clear. Clear water there. What a place to be. No darkness there. And then John says, we shall see His face. I think all those other things will pale into insignificance. He'll be here. He'll be here. Perfect communion. We shall see Him as He is. Sometimes seeing when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. I close with this story. And if you got the pamphlet from a brother Steve Altsizer, you might have read this story, but it was repeated about the Good Shepherd. There was an actor who was known for his one-man show, and he used to recite a lot of recitations. And he used to capture the people's attention. And every time he closed out his show, he would quote Psalm 23. The audience would be captivated with it, and at the end, they would stand and give a standing ovation and a loud, thunderous applause. One night, just as he was going to close and quote the psalm, a young man said, "Sir, could I quote the psalm tonight?" He was taken back for a moment. And then he decided, yes, you could come. He knew that he didn't have talent like his. He knew just a young lad. Even the audience wouldn't think much of him. So he gave him center stage. The young man got up and softly recited Psalm 23. There was no standing ovation. There was no loud applause. All could be heard was weeping. All could be seen with tears flowing down the people's cheeks. He couldn't understand it. He went up to the young man and said, "Please tell me what's the secret. I've never been able to do that." Quietly he said, "Sir, you know the song. I know the shepherd." As we close today, I believe most of us here know the song. But I ask today, do you know the shepherd? If what I ask you to do, it's good to have Brother Frank with us. Brother Frank would ask you to close in the word of prayer. Thank you, Brother Frank, and thank you for coming. You realize you could have been somewhere else this morning. And Christians, invite a friend tonight as we try and uplift the Lord Jesus in the gospel. Time is getting short. You know, I remind myself, only one life will soon be by. Only what's done for Christ will last. When they put my body in that casket, it's only what's done for Him that have any value. Just to pick up the phone and invite somebody tonight, who knows, it might be the means of that person trusting Christ. Thank you again for your attention, Conference.